One power. Yes, there is only one power within each and every one of us, and it is the power of life itself, the power of God itself. I welcome you here to the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown, where we remind you that such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're the opportunity. So am I. So it is. See, being that opportunity for life to appear means that that one power is living and well and bubbling up inside of us, not as some weird thing that you might see in the movies or expect to have trumpets blaring when it shows up or any of that, but simply your best ideas, your best thoughts, the energy that gets you out of bed in the morning, that gets you moving. This is a place where we celebrate that, where we look at how we can live more freely and more effectively, using that power within us in a way that brings greater good to ourselves and to everyone else. We know who you are, by the way. Thank you for being with us. You didn't know we can know who you are. We can see right into your living room. No, not really. Just kidding. What we do know, though, is who you are. You are an expression of the divine. You are the divine showing up, as we say, in this one particular way, in your particular individual way. And because that's who you are, how can we do anything except love you, celebrate you, and honor you? Some say that this is a center where we believe in many things, but the most important thing is we believe in you. We believe in your ability to live well, your ability to bring forward from your life the very best of who you are and what you, according to what you want it to be, not according to some idea I have or someone else has about what it should be, what you should be. So we honor you. We honor you, whatever your pronouns, however you understand your own self in the physical world and finding your way through this physical world. And it's a matter, you know, it's not about welcoming and tolerating or any of that. It's simply about honoring and celebrating who you are. So we're very grateful that you're here with us. We're very grateful that you choose to take some time today to spend with us here in this celebration. We have a lot of things happening in the next 45 minutes or so. We have some music, we have some talking, we have some sharing. Our theme for the day is resilience, activating the resilience within us that's always there, but that needs always to be nurtured and paid attention to. We're going to begin today, our next step today is to have one of our practitioners. Well, actually, our next step is to listen to our practitioners tell us about what we believe, tell us about our Declaration of Principles. But after that, one of our practitioners, wonderful, wonderful woman from down in South Florida, who I've known for many, many years and who very graciously has chosen to be with us for these last several years. And so we look forward to hearing from you, Norma Roberts. Let's hear from the...
I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe
in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is.
Good morning. It's just so wonderful to be here this morning. You know, the Declaration of Principles is an explanation of what we truly believe. And here we find a statement that says, we believe that the universal spirit, which is God, operates through a universal mind, which is the law of God, and that we are surrounded by this creative mind, which receives the direct impress of our thoughts and acts upon it. This deals with the practical use of spiritual power. When we consistently pursue a greater consciousness of wholeness, health, and abundance, and truly endeavor to live in such a new consciousness, we certainly expect changes. We expect to be healthier, happier, and more successful. You can consciously lift yourself out of any undesirable circumstance and change your directions by allowing the free flow of spirit to work through you to correct and harmonize your outer experiences. As you follow your inner spiritual guidance, your outer life will conform to your inner beliefs, and harmony and balance will result outwardly. I recently read that there is a wonderful ancient Chinese proverb that says, if we do not change the direction, we will most assuredly end up where we are headed. That is, regardless of the direction you are taking right now and following the science of mind philosophy, you learn that within you is a divine presence, which will assist you to change your direction if you do not like where you're now heading. You do this by knowing that all things are possible with God and by turning the direction of your life over to that something within, which is greater than you, builds an inner strength, produce more desirable experiences. We recognize that whenever we engage in spiritual studies, which alters the way we think, our circumstances are bound to be altered as well. And now, let's have our morning treatment. There is but one life. That life is God. That life is truly my life, right here and right now. All power, presence, life, and love are God in his fullness. I open my heart and mind to conscious connection with the one life. In so doing, I feel his presence within and around me. My awareness expands and I realize even more that it is what I am, and I am the revelation of that it is. I open myself to the free flow of life, and I accept that I am guided and led every step of the way. I now rest in the knowing that this is the divine and eternal truth. But I choose to be happy now. I approve of myself, loving myself deeply and completely. Therefore, I claim perfect health and enjoy renewed energy and vitality. I state my expanding prosperity and watch my income and my investments grow. I discover loving friends by greeting everyone I meet with love and respect. My self-expression grows dramatically through my awareness of spirit, filling my life with this presence. Joy, harmony, balance, and guidance are mine today and every day. For this, I am truly grateful, and I know of its perfect demonstration in my life, because I know the Lord has already done its work. Therefore, I release this word to the law and let it be so. And so it is.
Wow. Empty hands. You know, the whole world emptied our hands in 2020, 2021, 2022. We began to grasp again and bring things back, but for so many of us, the stop, the shutdown, whatever you want to call the great pause that happened in March of 2020, many things we were busy doing, many things we were busy living and choosing and having a part of our lives just stopped. Now, I'm not going to get into the theology of all of that and whether God caused it or not. I don't believe anything like that. I don't believe God zaps us with stuff. But I do know, and do absolutely know, that that great pause allowed all of humanity to take a step back and decide what matters. Decide what needs to fill those empty hands. So I invite you now to kind of move into a consciousness, to a feeling of empty hands, and to a willingness to hear some new ideas, perhaps, or to be reminded of some ideas you've known before, and to allow that open space within us to be populated and activated with some ideas that would make life more free and joyful and alive. These last few years and have been a huge change and shift. I don't need to tell you that. You've been here. You've been through it. You know what I'm talking about. And then we've had the whole process of trying to come, quote, come back from it. But the universe never goes back. Nothing ever goes backward. We always go forward to something new. And that newness is still is popping up, and not just in our centers, but in our whole culture. There's been a huge change and shift and a transformation that is happening, and happening whether we like it or not, and without us having much control over it. So life becomes one of adjusting and changing and shifting with the change that's going on. You know, and one of the most powerful things we have at our disposal, well, it's like this. Imagine that you are a surfer. Or no, better yet, you're a skier. Yeah, how many people like to ski? I don't see any hands. Oh, yeah, I can't. If you like to ski, or if you can imagine yourself liking that, I don't know about you, but I love watching some of these action videos where they on YouTube where they take where people go up to the top of a peak covered in snow, nothing but cliffs on all sides, and jump off with skis. And they go skiing down the mountain. They're flying down the mountain and they're wiggling and wobbling and shifting and changing direction and moving and up and down in different shapes and different sizes and different ways of being. And they shift and they jump off of cliffs and they catch and keep going down and keep going down. And sometimes they tumble, but usually even when they tumble in the snow, they get up and go again because they're going all the way. They're not stopping with life. They're going all the way to the bottom of the mountain. You know, and that downhill skiing is a powerful image, I think, for what life is like right now. We are all in a big downhill run on a ski, whether we like it or not. Because the world is not staying put. You know, back at, you know, 100 years ago, change came in by decades from one way of living to another. Now it's minutes. It's hours. AI showed up and holy Moses, the whole world suddenly changed and took off in a whole new direction on the internet and in our communications and in our gathering of information. It is unreal. What a great thing that has happened. So that surfer or that skier going down the mountain has got to have some real basic things in order to survive that trip. Otherwise, his first time off the first cliff and he's done for. Or she. Don't want to blame just the men or put men just in that. It's all of us, men, women, children, he, him, they, all of us. So the, one of the most important things, though, to have for that skier to have is a strong, strong, solid core. Now, the world around that skier is not solid and is not staying put. It is constantly moving as he or she moves through the world. But what the skier has to have is that solid core. So that when they bend their knees and they're on those skis, wherever they go and however they weave, who they are remains the same, that solid inner core. And I'm not just talking physical here. You gotta have a strong physical core to do that, obviously. I'm working on my core strength right now just to keep from falling over. So I can't imagine being on skis. Well, I can't imagine it because I can vicariously do that, but I can't imagine actually physically doing it. But you know, that strong core that's required to walk, that's just required to get through a day. And that core is not only physical, it's mental and emotional and spiritual. And that spiritual core is about absolutely knowing who you are and knowing who you are in this moment and this moment and this moment, and having a real clear sense of who you are based on who you know yourself to be, based on what you know, not on what someone else has told you. Well, this is who I am with so-and-so, and this is who I am in this group and in this group, because I accommodate people. I always do what the other people want, and I look the way that they need me to look so that everybody will like me or so that things will work more smoothly and easily, and I won't have to deal with conflict or any of those things. So in that situation, maybe the core is still there, but the important, most important part is, do you know who you are, regardless of what anyone else says, regardless of who you are in relationship to anything or anyone else? That inner core, that knowing absolutely, this is who I am. That's why we talk so much around here about the one power, the I am power. It is the truth of you. It is each and every one of us, according to this new thought philosophy. Each and every one of us have an individual core of truth that is the same as and connected as God itself, spirit itself, life itself. We say at the beginning of every talk, Daniel sings about it in the music at the beginning. Whatever you call it, whether you call it God, whether you call it spirit, or whether you call it the great I am, Yahweh, the names are endless. Doesn't matter what you call it. What matters is that inner core is alive and well and is a real thing, not just a metaphorical thing or not just a metaphorical idea. It's something that really is there all the time. And out of that place is that solid core. Now, the next thing that skier needs is the ability to adapt, to be resilient. And that is our talk today, resilience. I kind of changed the wording the way it said when I was thinking about this, because every time I say it, I hear it that way. And that is resilience. Yeah, resilience. But resilience, well, let's talk about it. Here's the definition of resilience. I'm going to read it to you so I get it right. Resilience is the ability to adapt, to recover, and to bounce back from adversity or challenges or setbacks. It refers to an individual's capacity to withstand and cope with stress, difficult situations, traumatic events, and significant changes in life, and still maintain a positive mental attitude. Anybody had any of those things lately? Have you faced up with any of those? Have any challenges shown up for you? If not, good for you. Although I wonder if you're awake and walking around, if that's true. Resilience involves a combination of mental, emotional, and psychological factors that enable individuals to effectively navigate through the difficulties and continue to thrive. Resilience involves qualities such as determination, perseverance, adaptability, optimism, positive thinking, something we talk about and know about here all the time, self-belief, the ability to have that solid inner self to know who you are, and the ability to seek support and solutions, support and solutions, support and solutions, support. You do not have to do this alone. You are responsible for your life, but you're not responsible for doing it by yourself. Resilience is not about never experiencing hardships, but rather about one's capacity to effectively manage and overcome any challenge we are faced with. I love that, and I wanted to read it all to you because it gives a clarity. Sometimes we talk about these abstract ideas like resilience, and we just haven't defined them and nailed them down. It's that energy that allows us to do that. Now, we already have it built in. You have resilience built in. You have resilience in your physical self to get out of bed in the morning. You go to bed tired. All of your muscles have been worked and used, and they're ready to be rejuvenated and fired up again. You go to bed during your sleep. The chemical makeup of your body shifts and changes, and it goes from all of that burned up, used up stuff into having it reset, reconnected. The enzymes in your muscles wake up and come back and rejuvenate your muscles, and the old toxins that have built up as a result of using them flushes out and is gone. And so you wake up in the morning refreshed and ready to go again. Your mind resets. When you sleep, your conscious mind goes to sleep, and your subconscious mind, your subjective mind, does its work most powerfully. It resets. It takes whatever you've truly believed in and spoken for the day, particularly if it's consistent and goes on and on and on, and it now integrates it into who you are and starts to bring it forward into your experiences. Yeah, that's why we say, you know, don't watch the news just before you go to bed. You don't want to go take all that stuff with you to bed. Go to bed thinking about the goodness and the truth of who you are, the power that you are, and let your subconscious mind work on that all night and bring you back the next day with even more. So we reset every day, all the time. Our body is constantly doing that, and our mind is too. Because every time we see something, we hear something, our mind is, you know, it's going strong. Maybe yours doesn't, but mine does. It's constantly responding to what's going on. So cars just went by, there was a red one. Oh, they're gonna get stopped by the cops more than anybody else because red cars do that. Constant brain going and telling me things that I don't even need to know. And reset, resilience, is the ability to sift through all of that, pay attention to it, and take charge of it. The mind, the thoughts, the constant chatter that goes on. Excuse me. See, that inner resilience is about the ability to really sink into the knowing of who we are and the powers that we have. There's a mental landscape, there's a physical landscape. And one of the most important things for all of us in this is to embrace the change, embrace the fact that we are in a reset. Embrace the fact that we are in resiliently needing to shift and change. Imagine that skier going down the mountain. He starts out in a position and then tries to hold that same position all the way down the mountain. We all know the silliness of that. He'd crash and burn pretty fast. Maybe not burn because it's cold, but he'd crash. How many of us would get anywhere if the only thing we looked in when we're driving is the rearview mirror? And we are in a time when things are changing so fast, we almost don't have time to assimilate and think about what just happened because something new is right here in front of us. What's next? And we have to be ready and willing to do that, to let the past be the past, to let it go. And let go any need to categorize it, to judge it, to put it into a place that it ought to, where we can understand and grasp it and hold it and be in charge of it and control it. Just let it go and move into the next experience. That's what a skier has to do. They have to do it really fast. If they start thinking about that cliff they just came off and how they did it and whether they did it right or not, the next thing you know, they're going to be in a pile of snow, head down, feet up. And the same thing for us. We have to be able and willing to release and let go every moment, again and again, letting the past flow past. The only thing we have that is where our power lies is right now in this moment, and that's enough. It's enough. I know all that about the skier looking behind him and not paying attention sounds silly. And yet, how much and how often do we do that? How often do we get stuck with this idea of, oh my God, I can't take another change. I can't take anymore. I'm not going to watch the news and it won't be there. Well, okay, don't watch the news. News is a distorted view of everything anyway. But you can't not know what's going on around you because you're going to be hitting it and running into it all the time. I can't. I don't want to. I'm tired. I'm too old for this. How many times have some of you said that in the last few months? I remember the 60s. Now, most of you don't, but I do. I remember the excitement of that time when all of the systems begin to be challenged and questioned and begin falling apart, man. It was so exciting because with that came this possibility of something new that nobody had done before. And we started celebrating love, free love, in ways that hadn't been done before exactly, at least not in large groups. And the 80s came along, and free love and all the expressions of that suddenly got hit with HIV. And you know what happened in result to that is sadly, many of my friends and many others passed away and left the planet at that time. But those of us left behind learned to love each other in a deeper and more profound way. We learned to cross the barriers between women and men, to treat each other respectfully and support each other in ways that had not happened before. And of course, then COVID, and now the change that we're in now, which is this, again, a huge shift in upheaval. We can't say, I can't do this. I don't want to do this, unless you really are ready to check out. Because you know what? Whatever you say, I am behind, you got it coming, but we'll get to that in a minute. The ways that we look behind us is that can paralyze and stop us on this wonderful trip down the mountain are our fears. What are we afraid of? What are we trying to avoid? What are we denying the reality of? There's a lot about what's been going on politically in this country that I prefer to deny the reality of, and yet it's real. It's real. People are being treated horribly. People treat one another horribly. People are afraid, terrified. Guns are everywhere now. I get a ride home from the car dealership who's working on my car, and there's a gun laying on the seat between he and I because it's uncomfortable in his pocket, he says, and so he pulls it out. Puts a whole different tone in the car and reminds me of the reality that there are so many people who are afraid, and there are people and there are situations where perhaps people require that kind of protection. And I'm not making a statement here on gun control. I'm just saying that the realities of what's going on around us right now are in our everyday lives and showing up. I can't tell you how many people I heard say, I'm afraid to hang out my rainbow flag this season because I don't know what the consequences will be. I haven't known anything like that since the 70s and 80s and before that. These things are real and we have to deal with them. We have to make it part of the things we see, the obstacles that we see in front of us, and the way things that we need to navigate as we go down this mountain. And of course, the physicality of it is pretty obvious. You can't. If you drive looking behind you, you're going to run into something. That's pretty real. Yeah. Well, here's what I think is the most important word for those of us who choose to live, who choose to be alive, who choose to be vibrant, who choose to let our thoughts add to the positive thoughts of the world, the positive ideas that are happening, the solutions that are showing up and coming forward. Those of us who want to be part of that, one of the most important things we need to do is make sure we stay awake. Because it's so tempting. It is for me, I'll speak for myself. It's so tempting to let myself slip into just entertainment. I love YouTube. I love movies. I love those kinds of things that take me out of my life experience and let me get lost in a great story and just dance with the story and go with it and solve problems and be, you know, 24 again, chasing around and running and doing and jumping and all those things that I can do vicariously watching movies. And I can do that. And if I'm not careful, I can go to sleep doing that and have no energy or time left for my life because it's all going into something else. And that going to sleep takes place in all kinds of ways. We do it through alcohol and drugs and through addictions and through all sorts of things that numb us. You can't be numb when you're skiing down a mountain. You got to be wide awake and have all of your faculties about you. I think today, in today's world, more than ever before, it is absolutely important and necessary that those of us who care stay awake. Those of us who choose to navigate this in a way that is good for us and good for everyone else, got to stay awake. Got to keep it awake. Now, we are indeed in the a teaching that has lots of help and lots of solutions for living and getting down that mountain safely and joyfully and with a lot of fun. And one of them is mindfulness. Three practices I want to talk about from science of mind and from our culture today, our culture of spirituality. Mindfulness is one of them. Staying awake requires mindfulness. You got to pay attention and be mindful, full of your mind in everything you're doing. Simple practice. Set your clock, your watch, your phone to go off at random times. And when it goes off with the alarm, stop and think a minute about where was my mind? What was I thinking about during this last 5 minutes? Was I lost in an, oh God, ain't it awful set of ideas? Or was I thinking about possibilities and changes and good things? Was I angry and bored? Whatever was going on, don't make it wrong. Just decide if that's how I want to be. Become mindful of how you're being. How much time are we spending with, oh my God, it's awful to live these days. And how much time are we spending? What a great opportunity. We are in a time of change and there is so much going on that we can be part of and part of bringing about newness that matches us more fully and freely than ever before. How much time are we spend daydreaming about that? Be mindful. Be mindful of what's happening in your body. Be mindful. And this is where the past does come in. Be mindful of what's gone on before and how you got to be where you are. We used to talk and do a lot about healing with the inner child and for younger people who've grown up in horrible situations, trying to heal those childhood issues. And many of us did and have, and many more need to still do it. Pay attention. Do you have PTSD? That's a mindful thing to ask yourself. Am I having symptoms that sound like and look like PTSD from all of the trauma that I've been through in the last 3 years? For some of us who as children were traumatized, these traumas reactivate some of that. And it can look a little like, oh my gosh, I haven't grown any. I've got all this stuff going on just like I did then. It's not true, but it can feel that way. And it just means that we need to know what we're paying attention to and how to then take the right steps to move forward easily and freely in this thing called life. You have to assess it. Did you have childhood PTSD? Are you a part of collective PTSD that's happened all over the world? And if you do, then look, that's not about a description of who you are. It's a description of some behaviors and some things that have happened to you that gives you keys to how to go forward in a more free and easy way. The second practice is prayer and affirmation. By prayer, I mean spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer, not prayer begging, God, please, as if God's out there somewhere. But it's the affirmative prayer that within me is everything that is required, and I simply get out of the way and let it come forward into my life. I've been spending a lot of time this last week with the I am thoughts, the I am principles. And Joseph Murphy, who was an early teacher of New Thought, talked a lot about I am. He did a whole book about it, that if we can get really clear and recognize in our deepest beliefs that the I am of God, the I am that God is the I am of me, myself, and I. I am the expression of the divine in my own unique, special, particular way, and so are you, and so are each of us. And he says, it's so fascinating. He says, if there's any area of your life that isn't working as well as you'd like your prosperity isn't what it needs to be, or your relationships, or you can't find work that you love, or your health is giving you fits. All that means is that you have some cloudy beliefs, some negative beliefs, some things that are blocking out that flow, that I am that is within you, that creates a life based in perfection and beauty and power and goodness. And so it's simply a matter of finding out what those beliefs are and setting them aside, replacing them, and or standing deeply and firmly in the affirmations of I am. I am success. I am prosperity. I am love. I am a lottery winner. Because whatever you put behind I am is the word or the two words that describe God within you. So God within me is, every time you say, I am this, God within me is. And God always says yes to itself. So God within me is divine. God within me is love. God within me is freedom and health and prosperity and good works. And God says yes. Because God is God within you. You're saying yes to yourself. It's also true that if you're spending a lot of time in your mental world and your thought world with, I'm tired, I'm sick, I'm lonely, I'm afraid. Holmes has a beautiful meditation in the back of the Science of Mind textbook that says, I will no longer lie to myself and tell myself I am lonely, sick, and afraid, because the I am is not that. Pretty cool. See, and as we begin to stand firmly in this I am, our world begins to move so much more easily. We start to move so much more easily through it. Our open hands are filled with power, with love, with goodness. One quick I am story. Years ago, I was on a wonderful canoe trip. Group of us working at a camp up in the Catskills in New York decided that because everything was flooded and we couldn't have any campers that week, we would go do the canoe trip that we always took kids on. That took 3 hours to canoe down from one place to the other in the Delaware River, not above the Delaware Water Gap. And you know, we thought this would be so much fun because the kids aren't here. We can do it ourselves. And it'll be fast because the river's flooded. Yay! Well, we jumped in our canoes. We jumped in the river. The three-hour run that normally it takes to make that run took an hour because the water was so high and going so fast. And at one point, we reached a point, I was in a canoe with a canoe instructor, thank goodness, and everybody except our canoe ended up in the water at least once or twice on that trip, because the water was, the ups and the highs and the lows were so big. Well, we came down in the trough and we got sideways, and it was like, oh dear, here we go. And we started falling over, and the canoe instructor behind me yells, "I am not going in that water. Hold on. Do not give in with where it's going. Lean the other way." I did, and we didn't capsize. I am not going in the water. I am staying up in this canoe. That powerful statement and that powerful moment realized, instead of going completely with the flow, I needed to go against the flow in order to keep us in the canoe. And we did, and we did just fine, and we landed, and everything was okay. Everybody got out safe, even though there were lots of people back in camp who were quite angry with us for having done that. So the third thing we have, first we have mindfulness, then we have affirmations, and I am affirmations are the most powerful. And I don't mean just saying them once in a while. I mean really spending time with the ones that you believe in and desire to have manifest in your life. The third is meditation. That is the calming of the mind. That is the getting quiet. That is breathing in, breathing out. It's not trying to make anything happen. It's the open hands. It's letting go of everything and simply receiving. Listening. Goodness knows we need to listen more. I mean, listen to something other than all the 14 dozen electronic things around us, but to ourselves, to the divine within us, to the spirit that we are. We get quiet and listen. Just listen. It's when you connect to that inner power, it's when you connect to the awareness of the I am. And you can have that awareness through meditation, through being quiet, through getting there. So we've been quite a ways today in this whole thought about resilience. Resilience is another way of saying it, resilience. Now, I'm one of those people who's often silly. My humor is sometimes silly. My grandchildren are very good at rolling their eyes. If they didn't know how, they learned real fast when they were around me. Just silly, Grandpa. And that's okay. Because, I heard a long time ago that that angels fly because they take themselves lightly. And taking ourselves lightly as we maneuver our way through life right now is very important and very helpful. So I'm going to leave you with a poem. I'm getting the time signal flashes here, so I need to wrap this up. And here's the poem I want to leave you with. This is by Hunter Thompson, written in the 1930s. Life should not be a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body, but rather to skid in broadside in a cloud of smoke, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and loudly proclaiming, "Wow, what a ride." That's what you deserve. That's what you desire. Because you're wonderful. So am I. And so it is. Let's hear from Vance.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. What a wonderful talk this morning on resilience. Bouncing back, coming through, being mindful. That attention and being present, all of those great things that we teach and learn and do here at Centers for Spiritual Living Midtown. And so with that, I'd like to invite you to consider your contribution to the center, to ongoing education, to yourself, to where you are spiritually fed. That's what I do when I give to the Center for Spiritual Living. I am fed here spiritually by these talks, by the classes, by everything that I have. So if you will, with me, you can donate at cslmidtown.org/donate or click on the QR code and let's read our affirmation of prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. And I'll turn it back to Dr. Bob for some announcements and our affirmation of life.
And so very quickly, let me share with you. Here I am. Okay. Let me share with you some announcements. Next week, Reverend Cynthia Paulson will be speaking to you on a joyful transformation, a joyful change, or changing with joy, I think is her title. But she'll be sharing with us a lot about what her lessons learned from her move out to the West Coast. I won't be with you, but she'll be here. And then tomorrow at 3 o'clock Eastern time, I will be on a guest on a radio show on the New Thought Radio Network. And it's entitled Your Doula for Grief. For grief. And we'll be talking about grief. We'll be talking specifically about grief for our exes. When an ex passes away, what happens? Something we don't often talk about, and it's often a surprise to people when the impact that it has. So that's tomorrow. Tuesday, we have our prayer group and our treatment group and our affirmation group. So that's noon. Join me, if you will, for any of that. And then I will see you in 2 weeks in person here at CSL. So listen now and join me as we share together our closing affirmation. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding. I am grateful for the spirit of life that moves through me. And so it is. See you next time. Thank you.